Start your day with us and stay connected with Vegas. This is Vegas at 8 on News Talk 840 KXNT.
Danny, good morning. Great to have you with us on this Wednesday morning, last day of January. And are we fortunate or what to be able to have an absolute legend on with us this morning? Pat Boone joining us right now on Vegas at 8. Pat, thanks so much for taking time to be with us this morning. I appreciate it.
I love your style on the air. You sound like an honest guy. You know what you're talking about. And I hope people take stock in what you say.
That's very, very kind of you to say. I like that. I'm gonna use that, actually. First of all, before we do anything, let's talk about your latest single. Not many people are releasing singles as they get to be your age of maturity. And I listened to My Stupid Tattoo, and I want to tell you, I thought to myself at a time, My Stupid Tattoo, what kind of a song is that going to be? And I heard that, and I thought, this is a really great country catchy tune.
It is. It really is. A friend of mine, Damon Lee, and I think you know him, and my own orchestra leader, conductor, pianist, Dave Siebels, who's a genius musically, put together the arrangement, which is catchy and fun. And as soon as I heard it, I don't have a tattoo. I've never had a tattoo. I've got grandkids and even great-grandkids who have tattoos. And I find them so ridiculous. And one of the things I tell people was on Dave Letterman's show, and I don't know if you happened to see it or knew about it, but he had Cher on toward the last days of Letterman's show, and I loved him, and he loved the absurd, which is why I loved him. And so he had Cher on, and he was saying to her live on the air, I understand that you have a flower garden tattooed on your buttocks. And she said, yes. And he said, well, everybody's heard about it. Can we see it? She said, no, I'm not going to let you see it. Besides, I'm getting ready to have them removed. He said, why? She said, they're wilting.
Yeah, I mean, it's a great line, but that does happen over time. I don't have tattoos either. I never have, never would have. That's how I was raised.
Well, the women, first of all, it is forbidden in the Bible, if people don't know. God doesn't like people created in his image, smearing themselves with indelible tattoos. But I guess he's going to be sympathetic with the culture of today, which is very disrespectful of things in his image. When I heard this song, I had to do it. I had to record it, even though I knew it would sound strange coming from me. So I changed the lyric enough to be literally about somebody else, but I'm telling his story and how his new girlfriend is not happy at all to see the tattoo of Susie on his neck, because her name is Holly, so she's not so jolly when she sees a tattoo of Susie on her boyfriend's neck. And I just thought it would register with country artists. And apparently it does, because in one of the major country charts, as soon as the record came out, it was quickly number 6 of the most added new songs on country radio. So it's I've got 3 records now doing great on country radio. One is Grits, the song I wrote about grits, and then a remake with Crystal Gayle of her major hit from years ago with Eddie Rabbit, Just You and I. Just you and I, we share our love together. It, beautiful song. Every time I mention it to anybody, say 45 or 50, they say, I love that song. So it's a remake with Crystal Gayle herself. And now we've added the song about the tattoo, and we got 3 songs on country radio.
Are any of these in your album, by the way, that you released, a country album?
Grits, yeah. We put Grits in there and the Crystal Gayle song, both because it was just an added attraction for Grits because it hadn't sold a million. But the rest of the songs, it's a very, very unique album called Country Jubilee, and it's 25 major million-selling songs plus Grits that are all million-selling favorite country hits of all time, sung by one artist, me. Country artists don't do each other's songs, so except for Hank Williams, where all country artists do his songs. But otherwise, Eddie Arnold's song stays Eddie Arnold's song. It's George Jones and the rest. You don't mess with their songs. That's their songs. But I've been singing them in my albums all these years. So what we did was just put together 25 million selling hits of all time in one album sung by one artist. And it, too, has been released, and we're now waiting to see how the Country Music Academy takes to it, because it is unique. There's never been one like it.
Right. You've always stood by your principles, too. You're a conservative Christian, and you declined certain songs and movie roles that I know you felt compromised your beliefs.
Yeah.
You've stood by that all your life. I mean, I certainly have. I can't tell you the respect I have for you for having stood by your principles like that, where other people would have gone, well, listen, I could make a few bucks. I could become bigger. Mm-hmm. And, you know, you said baloney with that.
Yeah, you're right. I mean, even in my very first records, like Little Richard's Tutti Frutti, boy, you don't know what she do to me. That's his lyric. I changed it to Pretty Little Susie is the girl for me. Well, it parsed the same, and the kids didn't care. They didn't. In most cases, didn't even know what the lyrics were about. One exception for me was Crazy Little Mama Come Knocking at my front door. And I never explained why Crazy Little Mama came knocking at the door. Maybe for some sugar, get a cup, you know, sugar or some hot coffee, or who knows. But I left that to the imagination. But if it was explicit in any way, I would just change the lyric enough that I could still sing it, still sounded the same, but yeah. It was a different. And the kids, they didn't care, and the songs went on to be hits. And so neither did Little Richard or Fats Domino or the other artists whose songs I did. They didn't care, because my records of their songs, theirs was rhythm and blues, it was race music, it was all black, and they had their own charts, DJs, and they had a limited market. But when I did their songs, like Fats Domino's Ain't That a Shame, his had already been number one R&B, sold 150,000. I did his song, it sold 1.5 million. 10 times what his had sold, and he was thrilled with it, because, as he said, I made more money off Pat Boone's record of my song than my own record.
Yeah, that way, at least they've got their music out to a much greater audience, where some people have criticized you for doing that. The fact is that you exposed
the song.
You exposed a lot more people to it. Stay with me. I've got to take a break real quick, but we'll come on back. I do want to talk about what's going on in Israel right now. I know that's near and dear to your heart.
Oh, yeah. I want to talk about it. Okie doke.
We're going to continue in just a moment. Pat Boone joining us right here on Vegas at 8. We'll continue in just a moment here on KXNT.
This is Vegas at 8 on News Talk 840. KXNT.
Annie, good morning. Great to have you with us on this Wednesday morning, and absolutely thrilled to have with us Pat Boone, the great Pat Boone. And I thank you for being with us. I want you to check out his new song, My Stupid Tattoo. It may sound like kind of a stupid title as that. You know what? I want you to check out the song, see what you think about it, because it is really a catchy, great song. I heard it, and I heard it once, and I immediately played it a second time. I had to hear it again. So I do want you to check it out. My Stupid Tattoo by Pat Boone. I've got to mention something else. You were the one who wrote the lyrics for the instrumental theme song for the movie Exodus. And when you put the words to it, the words are, "This land is mine." And Ernest Gold actually composed the music, but you put the lyrics to it. You have a very soft spot in your heart for Israel. Israel was viciously attacked, in an attack not like Jews have seen since World War II back on October 7th. And now they are embroiled in a war and against Hamas. And listen, Hezbollah's joined in, and all of it is being financed by Iran. I want to get your thoughts on this, because, you know, you've been around for a while and you've been watching what's been happening there. What are your thoughts, Pat?
Well, as you mentioned briefly, you know, I came along as a young rock and roller, singing rock and roll music, when, in fact, it was rhythm and blues, black music called race music, actually. And so my first image in the American mind was a young kid, which I was, singing rock and roll music. And then I was in college at Columbia University, graduated 1958, magna cum laude, with honors, and with the TV show, The Chevy Show, and other big singers come in on my show. I was 21, 22 years old with a musical variety show, and people learned more about who I really was. I graduated with honors, but with four kids, too. Shirley and I, at 23, had four little girls separately, and I was just getting out of college. And then I wrote books and recorded, and along the way, because of the way I was raised and what I believe, I was reading the Bible from cover to cover every year, word for word. This is my 48th year, not always consecutively, but now adding them up as I've gone along. So I am a Bible student. That's just part of who I am. So now when the melody of Exodus was written by Ernest Gold for the movie, and Paul Newman played in the film, this great, great film, I had to sing that melody, but there weren't any words. And I hadn't written any songs at that point. And we contacted the publisher to get the words, and they said, "There are not going to be any." "What do you mean?" "Well, we've had several accomplished writers submit lyrics, but it's just hard to put 3,000 years history into one short, beautiful melody. And so we're just three men have a veto power: Ernest Gold, the composer; Chapel Music, the owner of the song; and Otto Preminger, the director, producer of the film. And when people would submit lyrics, they were all turned down. So it was a Christmas Eve in 59, and Shirley was begging me to help get the Christmas presents under the tree so we could go to bed. And I kept listening to the Ferrati Teicher piano version of the duo, piano duo, bum, 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 bum. And I said, "Honey, let me listen one more time. I'm trying to get an idea for the lyric to submit to another writer, not me." But when I put that needle on for the 40th time, bum, 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 the words, "This land is mine," came to me, and I had goosebumps. I thought, whoa, it's not trying to tell the whole detailed history of millions of people. No, one person speaking for himself. "This land is mine. God gave this land to me."
Yeah.
And then the Sabra enters the picture, the female compatriot, militarily even in Israel in those days, women fighting right alongside the men. And so, "Take my hand and walk this land with me. You and I, if we have to fight, we'll fight to make this land our home until we die. This land is mine." And as soon as the three guys heard the lyrics, they were immediately accepted, and my lyric became the lyric of what is now.
I've only got about a minute and a half. Tell me about what your thoughts are, what's going on now in the Middle East.
Oh, there is a logical answer staring us in the face.
What's that?
Gaza was in the map of Israel in the first century before. God gave that land to Israel and brought them back again and created the nation. It's never going to be taken from them. But the city is destroyed. It's going to have to be rebuilt. But don't rebuild it there on Israel land. Go into the Sinai Peninsula, Saudi Arabia, build a brand spanking new city. Let them have their own city, even 10 times bigger, and not on land that God gave to Israel, and they're never going to be removed from. And that's a logic. It's there. Lots of land that could be on the Gulf of Aden or Yemen, and have all their land to themselves, a brand new city, and have no war with Israel. They're not going to run Israel off land God gave them. You don't want to find yourself competing with God. And so there's a new alternative. Build a city. Got to rebuild it anyway. We'll put it on different land in the Sinai Peninsula.
That's a great idea. You know what? I'm going to share that with other people as well, but I'm up against the clock. I just want to remind everyone to, I'll keep talking about that. It's a great idea, by the way. But the song is My Stupid Tattoo. Pat Boone, his latest song. Believe it or not, he's making songs today. It's never about age. It's about mental acuity and the ability to be able to carry a tune. And Pat Boone has got both going on. And Pat, it's always great having you on the show. Thank you for taking the time. And I hope we can do it again very soon.
Let's do it. I know we'll find something else to talk about.
Pat, great. Take care of yourself. Be healthy and well. God bless you, and we'll talk to you soon.
Thank you, Alan.
All right. Pat Boone joining us here at Vegas at 8. My final thoughts coming up next. I do want to take this opportunity to thank Pat Boone for joining us. My Stupid Tattoo is the name of the song. Great song, and what a brilliant guy he is. Also, a tip of the hat, thank you to Mitch Kelly and Trent Ogle for helping make today's show possible. And, of course, to Emerald Island Casino, Rainbow Club, Veterans Talk, and Sam and Ash for sponsoring us here at Vegas at 8. Speaking of Sam and Ash, catch Sam this afternoon at 1 right here on KXNT. The show is What's Right, and it's an absolutely great show. 1 o'clock, What's Right with Sam on KXNT. In the meantime, have a great day. Please do drive carefully and always keep on thinking free.